Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Play comes back to the point, far side, chance at the far circle. Rebound, comes free again to Kozak. Far circle shot, scores! Great shot, and Byram playing Bo on the spot right there for the Sabres, who take a 2-1 lead with 11:19 to go here in the second period.
Dan Dunleavy on the call, a real nice hardworking shift for the Sabres, Krebs to Kozak, and Kozak splitting some defense and finding Bo Byram on the other side of the ice, and he fires it home past Stuart Skinner to give Buffalo a 2-1 lead. That's the game-winning goal as Buffalo goes on to win it 5-1. Our goal of the game tonight brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Welcome you to the post game here live at the press box. Brian Culziel, Pat Malacaro is joining me here as well. Paul Hamilton's awaiting outside the Sabres room. We'll get player reaction coming up in just one moment. Well, Pat, on a night where it's headlined by the best player in the NHL being here, Sabres did a really good job defending number 97 and able to put five into themselves to go on to this victory.
Yeah, and this is a game where can you build off of what you did in Detroit over the weekend? You have four straight games here at home. Can you add up some points and start feeling a little bit better about how the season is going? And they were able to do that tonight for a lot of different ways. They didn't take bad penalties, first of all. And I know the penalty kill is very good, but
they took one penalty the whole game.
Right. You're very disciplined. You got contributions from some of the young players who are getting a lot of experience right now. And your goaltender, who wasn't on this roster going into training camp, is now coming through in several games now. So when you look at this one, it's about as complete of a game as you've seen, I think, from the Sabres so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, the defense of McDavid, it was Paul's keys to the game about keeping him outside. And if you look at his numbers, he's a -2 in almost 24 minutes of ice time. So it's not like, you know, they didn't play him down the stretch because it was one-sided. He ends up with just one shot on goal, two total shot attempts, gave away the puck three times.
So zero in the third.
Yes.
That's a key right there, because he went into the third period with those two shot attempts and one on goal. So he had none in the third period when Edmonton tried to get back in it.
Yeah, so great job defensively for the Sabres on McDavid. And look at the secondary scoring here, Pat, tonight. It's Oslin with two. It's Byram with the game winner. It's Malenstein. I know Thompson into the empty net, but it's over at that point. So you're getting third and fourth line contributors and a defenseman to score. So, you know, that's obviously a recipe for success.
Yeah, that's something we were looking at early in the year when Thompson and Tuck weren't scoring is who was going to step up. And you're seeing it's the kids right now. And, you know, on that Bo Byram goal, Tyson Kozak, Peyton Krebs helping with that as well. So you're getting contributions, several players setting things up, not only just finishing it off, but setting up the play as well. So again, it's that confidence that maybe the team is starting to find a little bit, that they may have felt like they were playing well enough. They were just, you know, you're getting a loser point here or there. You're not able to get those two. Well, now you've put together a couple of games now after the wake-up call in Detroit. You played much better after that. You win here today, and you get a Calgary team coming up on Wednesday that, again, you still have to go out and show up and play the game. But then you can maybe look at you're starting to build something with some stacking some points back to back to back.
Yeah, and I think tonight this storyline is, you mentioned, a goaltender playing great that wasn't on the roster to start the year, and two youngsters from Rochester, Auslan and Roseanne, continue to put some offense as a part of their regular routine now, to the point where we can start having the conversation about, well, we're hearing good news that, oh, Jason Zucker's getting close. Josh Norris is skating. Like, you know, we're starting to hear about some of these forwards coming back, and it's going to lead to maybe what you would call is a good problem here, because these youngsters have deserved the ice time that they're getting right now, playing even on the power play.
And I think it's something we've talked a lot about is you don't want to rush a player into the league and stunt their development and stunt their growth as a young player. And I think being in Rochester for as long as each of these players were, they've gotten opportunities, and maybe it's a small sample. You go back to Rochester, you learn from your little time with the Sabres, and or maybe it's even in just training camp, in preseason games. You learn from the players around you by osmosis, and then you eventually can put it together. And I think that's an example of players now getting the seasoning down in Rochester, getting opportunities here and there with the big club at times in different situations, and now making the most of it because they've had that development down in Rochester and can really come through at this level now.
5-1 Buffalo over Edmonton. The Sabres will next be home for Calgary on Wednesday. That'll be game two of a four-game homestand. Chicago and Carolina still later Friday and Sunday on this trip here, on this homestand, before Buffalo heads back out onto the road. So the Sabres pick up their seventh win, 7-8-4. We'll update you on the standings here in just a little bit. Again, we're awaiting Paul Hamilton heading into the Sabres room to get some live player reaction to this one. So back to Ellis. Well, in a moment, we'll continue that conversation. Here's Noah Uslan with Paul.
Noah, how exciting, has to be very exciting to get a two-goal game in the National Hockey League. Talk about, I have already talked to you about your first goal. Talk to me about your second goal.
Yeah, after a lost draw, I just got on the forecheck and won the puck back and saw an open and shot it on net. So, yeah.
Were you surprised it was that open for you to come out in front and be able to have that kind of time?
Yeah, I would say so. I don't really know what happened to their defense, but I'm happy for it and good to get a goal there.
They got one goal on you guys. You guys defended. This is the Edmonton Oilers we're talking about. You guys defended very well. What were the keys for the team to defend the way you did?
Yeah, just try to be as aggressive as we can. Try to get as close possible to McDavid and Draisaitl, and we did it well tonight.
Was it fun for your first game against McDavid?
Yeah, it was cool. A player I've been looking up to, so yeah, it was cool playing against him.
Noah, what kind of spark do you think you provided the fourth line tonight?
I don't really know. That's try to go down there and skate a lot and work hard. So I enjoy playing with them. They're strong players and win a lot of pucks back. So it's been good.
Noah, you might have talked to Paul about your first goal, but you haven't talked to us about it. Playing net front on the power play, getting that kind of room, being able to stuff that home. What's it like for you to be down that low? I know you're probably not accustomed to playing down there.
No, it's probably the first time I'm down low. So try to learn every day and try to make some plays up there, and it worked pretty good tonight.
You surprised that you're able to just have enough time to be able to make that play?
Yeah, I mean their defense were pretty aggressive and stood pretty high, so I saw the opening and took it. So.
Well, what was key for your team to protect that lead in the third period, particularly a two-goal lead?
Yeah, just try to stay as aggressive as we could and not stop making plays. Just keep going as we did the first two periods.
How much fun is it to have the first Swedish goal, Auslan from Roseanne and Dahlin?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good good power play movement, so it's fun.
Did you hear Rasmus talking about you guys the other day? Nice having some good young Swedes on the team.
I haven't heard that, but it's good having him here too. So.
There's some injured guys that are going to come back soon, most likely. And I mean, do you think you're making a strong case to stick up here? That you're giving them a tough decision?
Yeah, I try to. I mean, it's not my job to make the team, but I try to do as good as I can every day. Yeah.
Thanks, Noah Oslin. Brian, I'm not going to throw it back to you because I do see Beckman back the way here. Can I just cut through here?
Of course, thank Paul.
You. Thank you. Beck Malenstein. Beck, talk about getting that first goal this year. It's a typical Beck Malenstein goal, isn't it? Go to the net and get a stick on it?
Yeah. It's definitely nice to see one of those go in. Feel like you're doing a lot of good things to start the season and just couldn't get one of those bounces. So, definitely a little bit of a weight off the shoulders seeing that one go for me.
What kind of spark did Noah Oslin bring to the fourth line tonight? And how did it complement you and your line mate?
Yeah, I think, for a while there, Krebsy, Dunner, and I had a really good thing going. And, Ossie just brings a lot of poise and a lot of skill up the middle. And I thought he was able to make some great plays for us. It lets Dunner and I just put our heads down and go to work, chip pucks in, win a few battles. Like I said, he has so much control, vision out there. It's a great player to play with.
Have you been feeling good the past couple of games? It looks like you've been on your game the last couple of games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like I said, I think, the results haven't maybe always been there offensively for our line, but we've done a lot of positive things. So, like I said, just nice to be rewarded out there.
What was the key to the defensive effort here? I mean, that's the Edmonton Oilers out there. You guys shut them down completely.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just it's attention to detail. Realistically, they have so much skill and speed, and I thought we just did a great job having numbers back and people above them, forcing them to go through a five-man unit, and I thought it allowed us to take advantage on the offensive side as well with some transition plays, catch a few odd man rushes, and honestly just pitting them in the offensive zone too. Best defenses in the offensive zone, so I thought we did a great job of that tonight.
You guys had some tough times here on this road trip. How much was there a carryover from Saturday, the way that thing turned around?
Yeah, obviously not the result we wanted on that little stand on the road, but I think throughout that time there were definitely positives in those games, and I thought we've done a really good job, the season as a whole, being able to, not weigh too much on the negatives, pull those positives, and I think we've, really shown that the last two games, and hopefully we can kind of stick to that game plan and keep moving forward.
On the third period, what did your team do to protect first a two-goal lead and then a three-goal lead?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing in the third is still being aggressive. Getting that extra goal puts more pressure on them, all of that kind of stuff. Realistically, it was sticking to that same game plan. Maybe there's a few plays that you aren't quite as aggressive. You keep a guy back. But for the most part, I thought we played on the front foot, which allowed us to keep them under pressure, not give them anything for free.
Were you able to get the puck for your new child?
Oh, no, I wasn't thinking about that. I may have to find him one another time.
What have you learned about Colton Ellis?
He's one heck of a goaltender, I can tell you that. Yeah, no, Ellie's been phenomenal for us. We have so much faith for him between the pipes, and it's just been great. He's an awesome kid. We've really enjoyed having him around the room. Puts a ton of work in on the ice. I mean, I've never seen a guy take more breakaways at the end of practice for as many times as he does, and just great to see him rewarded with some great hockey there.
What have you gotten to know about Noah Oslin off the ice? He's
not too much.
Guy.
He doesn't say much to us. Yeah, once we break through that layer, he's he's a quiet kid. Obviously, a different language for him coming over here, but definitely get him to know him a little bit. Some dinners on the road and stuff like that. He's got a good dry sense of humor. Kind of quietly sits in the background. And you hear him every once in a while, and always makes guys laugh. So, like I said, it's been a pleasure having all those guys up. We've had a lot of injuries. A lot of guys have had to step up into big roles, and you can see him, logging a lot of minutes, power play time. He's getting rewarded for all of it. So really happy for him.
Is the communication on the ice like? Does a switch flip for him a little bit?
Maybe a little bit. I think guys, everyone's yelling around out there for the most part. I don't think there's too much of a language barrier in that sense. But, at the same time, like I said, he has such good vision. He probably doesn't need to say a bunch either. He's in the right spot a lot of the time. You're able to see him. He's supporting you. So, yeah, heck of a player.
Did you do the monkey off the back thing when you went to the bench?
They have a bigger than a monkey. I'm not sure what was hanging out.
Just heading over here to Colton Ellis. Well, Colton, I haven't been around you a lot, but I've been around you enough to know nothing seems to faze you. You don't care if that's the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid or who it is out there. It just seems like you're the same no matter what. How do you keep that level head?
I think it's just kind of sticking to, you know, my routine and my process and, you know, the keys that give me success. And, you know, I put a lot of work in on, you know, creating my game and what that is. And I think no matter who you're facing, you can't kind of stray away from what makes you you as a goalie. So, you know, every night I just try to do that.
I'm sure it, you take nothing for granted, but it still also must be nice to be noticed. I mean, that was your third start in four games, so obviously the coaching staff is noticing you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like I just want to play games and give the team a chance to win. So, you know, whatever I can do to earn my ice, I'm going to do.
What did your team do in front of you, your defensive effort in particular, to shut down the Edmonton Oilers? They limited Zach Hyman, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl to one assist in this game.
Yeah, they were awesome, everybody. Forwards, D-man, everybody was great at, you know, keeping them to the outside, and I think that was a big focus for us going in and, you know, kind of limit the amount of times they're able to walk through the middle. And, you know, they did a great job of keeping everything to the outside for me.
Your biggest save may have been your first one, about 5-10 seconds in the game. They set up Hyman coming right down the slot. You make that save. The game could be totally different. Talk about that save and how big it was to start the game off like that.
Yeah, I think just being ready to go as soon as the puck drops is really important. You don't want to get caught chasing a game, get down early. So, you know, just tried to read the play as best I could and made the save.
Beck was just saying he's not sure he's seen another guy who stays out so late, you know, taking breakaways at the end of practice. Why is that so important to you to be out there for those guys and to look at it?
I think it's helpful for both of us. Like, guys get to, you know, practice and I get to practice it. So, you know, it's just as much for me as it is for them. So, obviously, like, I think that's just being a good teammate as well and something I enjoy doing.
Thanks, Colton. Colton Ellis on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Okay, thank you, Paul. We heard from Colton Ellis, Beck Malenstein, and Noah Ostlund all down there on the postgame in the locker room as we bring it back up here to the press box. 5-1 Buffalo, the final. We'll be heading down to the media room for Lindy Ruff's postgame comments here coming up in just a little bit. Let's get the final stats in, brought to you by Level Financial Advisors. Helping you retire better, visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third. I mean, that's Buffalo doesn't let up a goal. Colton Ellis doesn't let up a goal. Edmonton put 15 shots on Ellis in the third, so it's not like they backed away. 15-10 in the third period. It ends up 32-29 Edmonton in the shot totals. There were no penalties in the third. In fact, there were even no power plays other than the first period. So it ends Edmonton 0-1. So the Sabres disciplined to keep that dangerous Edmonton power play off the ice. They only had one try the whole night. And Buffalo got a power play goal. That was the first goal of the game from Ostlund. Buffalo 1-2. In the nets tonight, Colton Ellis gets the win, 33 shots. Now they've added a shot to Edmonton's total. So 33 shots, 32 saves. And in the loss, Stuart Skinner, he faced 27 shots, made 23 saves. The Buffalo 28th shot went into the empty net. Three stars brought to you by Blue Star Home Services. Your heating and cooling experts, ready to improve your home's comfort game plan. Get started at BlueStarHS.com. Rasmus Dahlin with two assists to star number three. Colton Ellis, 32 saves in the wind, star number two. And Noah Ostlund, his second and third of the season, he is star number one. Again, those were your Blue Star Home Services, three stars. The attendance tonight at KeyBank Center, 16,394. And Buffalo will continue this four-game homestand Wednesday night against the Calgary Flames, who are the worst team in the NHL in terms of points. That is also, just make a note if you are planning on attending that night, 7:30. Okay, not a normal, I know almost all the home games at night are at 7 on the weeknights. 7:30 here on Wednesday against the Calgary Flames. But, you know, you heard Malenstein, Ostlund, and Ellis talk about defending some of the big guns for the Oilers. And they did a very, very good job of this. If you're just joining us here, maybe just getting in your car at KeyBank Center from the game, they held McDavid to one shot overall in the game. So that's a nice win there for him. Draisaitl, who we know is also just as dangerous, he had two shots in this one. So, you know, in general, you know, that's your 1-2 punch from Edmonton. A total of 3 shots, and Draisaitl gets 1 assist in this game. McDavid, no points, a -2, took a penalty, which actually led to the Oslin opening goal. So, I mean, you can't really defend it much better than that, for sure, when you're talking about the best player in the NHL and a top 10 player in the NHL, for sure, in McDavid and Draisaitl. Individually for the Sabres, well, more stats in a moment. Lindy Ruff has come to the media room. Here he is live.
Okay, probably our best game. We're even leading in the third period. Made a lot of really good decisions with the puck and stayed away from any type of high-danger opportunities.
You talk about decisions with the puck, and your defense certainly made plenty of them. What about the job Ellis did in managing the game? There were times in the first period where he killed the plays for you when you needed to, and it just seemed like he was in control, in sync with his guys.
Yeah, I think that in control is a pretty good word. I think that he was able to sense a little bit of danger at times, and whether he broke the puck out or whether he just held it for a whistle, you know, there was times where he knew what we needed. And, you know, I said this morning that his puck play has been real good. I thought tonight was his puck play was excellent, and that tied into trying to keep their, you know, their top guys out of the middle of the ice.
Some forwards back in the near future. I mean, Noah's playing.
There's only about 9 of them lined up at the dressing room there.
I mean, Noah's making a strong case to stick around. I mean, is he making the decision difficult? I mean, he's playing very well.
I think the progress of these guys has been real good. I think, you know, how well they played down in Rochester and now how they're starting to feel a little bit more comfortable. I think any, you know, young player, if usually when they're brought up, it's kind of a limited role. They've been, because of the amount of injuries and the type of people we've lost, they've been cast in a real big role. And they've given us as much as they could. And I thought tonight, the power play goal by Austin, those two guys working together down low. But I think you've seen through the road trip a couple really good games and another good game tonight. So, they're making steps toward being a regular NHL player.
About his ability to fit in on that line, you know, kind of a different.
Who are you talking about?
Noah. Fitting in on that line with Beck and Dunn, like different skill sets, obviously, but show you a little something different with Noah that he could fit in with those guys too.
Yeah, you know, we tried to, you know, put a little balance to the lines. And we knew we were going to have a couple lines that were going to have to play, you know, against the McDavid line. And we knew, McDavid and Draisaitl would get put together sooner or later if you're winning. And but I thought it was a real big effort out of our third line or fourth line. If you want to look at what they produced offensively, Mal, even, you know, a big moment late in the game. And you don't have to block a shot there, but the willingness to say to his goaltender, you've had a great night. He went down, blocked a shot. And that was, I think, Malenstein standing right in front of the net on that play. So it was a night we needed everybody. I think we had everybody. And, you know, I think everybody contributed into a good win for us.
When you play Edmonton, you want to limit the damage with McDavid and Draisaitl, but you guys went far past that. I mean, how encouraging is it to see that they were pretty much dominant and pretty silent most of that game?
We stressed try to stay 5 and tight. We knew we'd probably have to give up some ice through the neutral zone, but make sure we have numbers back where we're not given the easy opportunities. I think what killed us on the road trip was, you know, you look at the start in Colorado, we gave up a breakaway and we gave up another big opportunity. We didn't give up those big opportunities and we didn't give up maybe 1 or 2 inside opportunities tonight to those guys. So it was a good night to have everybody, you know, doing the right thing at the right time.
Another thing your team did well is you created traffic in front of Stuart Skinner and created chances in front of him. Why was that key against Edmonton tonight, going down and deep?
Well, you know, I think we try to create traffic. There's some nights we defer a little bit outside of that tonight, and on the goals and a couple of the goals, we did a great job of taking the goalie's eyes away. And there wasn't a lot he could do about, the shot that was coming. You look at the way the first period was being played, wasn't a lot of shots, there was a lot of possession time. I thought we managed the puck well. We had the puck a lot. We didn't attack a lot, but we had it a lot. And that kept them from really gaining possession and getting anything going.
You know, we talked about on the road trip how there were good moments in all the games, really. Certainly Utah is a game you lose. But how much carryover was the way it ended, do you think, going into this game? Because that completely changes the feeling. If you go 0-4 in that thing, and that game turns around, and now you might be going the other way.
I totally agree. I think you can look at that period to, you know, carrying that momentum all over to this game. Like, even how important it was to win it in overtime, because it's been frustrating to get into overtime and not win in overtime. So to have Samuelson score in overtime, I think you saw how excited everybody was excited about it. Players, coaches, everybody was just it was a good feeling, and I think that really did carry over to tonight's game.
Every relief to score. How happy are you for him that he? You know,
I am happy. I mean, you know, the job he's done penalty killing, how hard he works every night. You want to see those guys get on the board. You want to see them get rewarded. You know, you play the game. You're a forward. You want to score. You want to help. Yeah, I know you can help in other ways, but you know, when you're playing the game, you want to see the puck go in the back of the net. And I'm always happy when those guys find the back of the net.
With a 3-goal lead, did you give some thought to letting Austin go out and try for the hat trick?
I did, but we had a plan, and I just felt got to stick with the plan. That you know, we had two lines that we thought use our penalty killers, and you know, put McLeod on the wing. So I did. If there would have been less time, I probably would have thrown him out there. But I just felt it was important to stick with it at that time of the game and not give them any life at all, because you know, he's not a shot blocker. He's not what Mel's going to do or a Greenway who's a penalty killer. So but if that clock would have wound down and the goalie would have still been out, he would have definitely gone. Thanks.
Okay, that is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff, a lot of high praise for his players tonight, and deservedly so. After Buffalo beats Edmonton, I would say quite handily, 5-1 the final. And you know, we've been talking about how they shut down McDavid and Draisaitl and the big names for the Oilers. They did a wonderful job, I would say. And he talked about, and the whole the players did, five players in tight, not giving up the opportunities inside. Paul's keys, he said, keep McDavid outside. It's, you know, they had it there. And, you know, the comments about Oslin and Rosen, there's about three layers to this game that I'm, you know, excited to talk about here. You've got Ellis in net and that developing story. You've got the combo of Oslin and Rosen and their progress. And Lindy saying, look, they're making steps to becoming a regular NHL player. And then you want to talk about the commitment of the entire team to how they defended the Oilers' best players there. And I think they checked all three boxes tonight in this 5-1 victory over the Oilers. Next up is Calgary on Wednesday. Again, that's a 7:30 puck drop. Okay, for all of you listening on our local affiliates across the network, we're going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. If you're listening on our flagship WGR here in Buffalo, stay with us. We've got a lot more postgame coming up, including Paul Hamilton's final take. We'll get you some more highlights. We'll update you on the standings. Send your tweets in. We'll read some tweets from fans at Brian WGR. Sabres beat the Oilers. 5-1 the final. 2 in a row. Buffalo now 7-8-4. I'm Brian Colziel. Pat Mullicaro, Paul Hamilton with me here as we'll continue on to the postgame right after this live at KeyBank Center. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
McDavid. Cross ice. One-timer Ellis got over there just to put an exclamation mark on what's been a solid night for the Sabres goaltender.
It was a very solid night. Dan Dunleavy there on the call for Colton Ellis, Buffalo's winning goaltender. 33 shots, 32 saves. Second star honors, Buffalo victorious. 5-1. They're now 7-8-4. Well, they've got a lot of work to do in the standings. They are now tied with the Leafs for last in the Atlantic and the East overall. If you want to talk about positives, I guess, in the standings, they're only 4 points back of third, which is Montreal. The bad news is there's 10 teams also in between them if you just go top to bottom of the conference. So, yeah, you're four away from Montreal, but you also got to pass a whole bunch to make sure they don't pass you as well here along the way. Okay, we're going to get connected with our fans here shortly. We'll read some tweets. That's powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Send in your tweets at Brian WGR. And again, we'll go through the full standings here after we get Pat's scoreboard. But let's go down to the media room now. Paul Hamilton is there. Paul, I said there's about three real like headlines for me from this game. And one of them is one of your keys to the game. You said you got to keep McDavid and their stars on the outside. And Lindy and the players multiple times talked about the five-man unit, keeping everything in tight. Nobody inside for chances. So they checked that box. The second one is the emerging story here of Colton Ellis and maybe his, you know, taking over of the number one net for now. And the youngsters here, Rosen and Oslin, continuing to progress to what Lindy said. They're taking the right steps to make themselves an NHL player. So those are the three kind of big things I feel like I took from tonight's game. I don't know if you want to start with any of those in particular, but I guess we can even start with Ellis there because we just heard that save. Let's go to him. The defense was the story. Let's start with the back end here and how good he played.
Well, unless he's injured, I'll bet you I'll take you. If he doesn't start on Wednesday, I will take you to the most expensive steakhouse in Buffalo.
Wait, me too?
No,
the whole crew.
No, yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
Just Brian, and I think I'll be fine.
Fine.
Unless he gets injured in practice or has an injury from tonight that we don't know about.
Yes.
I can't imagine he's not the starting goalie Wednesday against the Calgary Flames. He was that good. But the team around him was also that good. That was their best game of the year by far. And that's why I want to give injuries the proper thought. Injuries are part of this, why they are in this hole. They're trying to dig out of it. But what I've said all along is it's not everything, because they are capable of playing hockey. And they showed it tonight. That was the Edmonton Oilers out there. That wasn't the Springfield AHL team. Where are the Falcons now, I believe? That was the Edmonton Oilers out there. And that was Connor McDavid that they shut down out there, to the point where Connor McDavid gave Tage Thompson a drop pass for the empty net goal. Totally turned it over. And Thompson turned and put it into the empty net. Right off the bat, McDavid probably made his best play of the game. Right off the opening faceoff, he comes flying down. I don't think the game was 5 seconds old when he sets up Hyman in the slot. And Ellis, that's just a huge save. Now, the save he made on Draisaitl later coming across was probably a better save. But as far as a meaningful save, if the Oilers score in the first 5 seconds of the game, this whole thing could have been different. But now Ellis is nothing phases this kid at all. He doesn't care if it's the Edmonton Oilers and McDavid, or he just goes out and does his business. And I'm just going to keep saying this. I love his rebound control. It's like there's never a rebound flying out of there. It's the rebound, he either holds on to it or it's right around his pads. And he'll make a pass to somebody to start the breakout, to get out. That's important. It really is. I mean, the other team, they might have guys around, but the Sabres did a good job of boxing out tonight, too, even if there was a rebound. You know, they weren't loose guys all over the place. They made a mistake on the one goal Edmonton scored. That's fine. You're not going to be perfect. But how do you respond to that one mistake? Well, they responded to it very well. Edmonton got 16 shots, but it was still a very calm. Ellis was fine. It wasn't like they were all over him and had grade A scoring chances. It seemed like Edmonton was content to shoot from distance and see if maybe they could get some tips or some type of rebound, which they weren't going to get, and do it that way. Buffalo also, got 9 shots. They didn't sit back at all. They had opportunities. They scored a goal. They outscored Edmonton 1-0 in the third period. And Brian, let me know if you put $100 down tonight on the line of Östlund, Dunn, and Malenstein scoring 3 goals and an assist for 4 points.
Yeah, that was impressive for sure. Let's go to that next. Östlund and Rosén, obviously, Paul, are getting an opportunity to play due to injuries. Sometimes they're even getting a chance to play, with what we'd say they're getting to play on the power play. They're getting to play with some of the top line players. And because of injuries, it's not maybe the normal call up that you normally see where, hey, you come up, you play on the fourth line, you get 6 minutes, and then we send you back down. This is obviously a little different scenario here. And I'll quote Lindy. He says, quote, "They are making the steps to becoming a regular NHL player." Does that mean they're chances of staying up are stronger? Does it still mean they're probably going to go back down? Like, what are you sensing from his comments on that?
Well, there's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 forwards out of the lineup. So, Benson, Zucker, Kulik, Norris, they're all getting back in the lineup. I've maintained all along that Noah Östlund, I've really liked what he's done. He has 5 points, 3 goals and 2 assists in 11 games so far. And Rosén has 3 goals and 3 assists for 6 points in 8 games. I've said all along, and that includes Kulik, of the group of youngsters, Östlund might be the best of the group when it's all said and done as far as an NHL player goes. And I stand behind that. When it's all said and done by the end of their careers, of the young talent on the Sabres, in the Sabres organization, he may be the best one of the group, being the two-way player that he is. I'm not going to lie. I basically thought Rosén was done after that prospects tournament, and he was a complete no-show. One of the older players, no points, played very poorly, and I never really liked any of the games I saw from him when it came to the NHL, except for maybe one. And I've always said he never really played on a top line either. So he was playing with guys that maybe, you know, weren't going to compliment him. So I'll give him that. But I didn't think I would see him come up to the NHL and get 6 points in eight games this year. But I'm sure he got a ton of confidence. He was when he got the call, he was the leading scorer in the American Hockey League. So that gave him a ton of confidence. And then he came up here and was given an opportunity on a good line and took advantage of it, I thought. And, this obviously I think would have been his last opportunity. But maybe I wrote him off too quickly. And, with what he's been able to do so far. So if they stay healthy and get all those guys back, I think they both wind up back in Rochester. That's not a bad thing. Now they would have had a good taste of the NHL, however many games it winds up being. I think it's been very good for them to get that taste and to do well and to know what kind of things they need to work on in the American Hockey League. But there's really, with the way the things are set up right now, there's really no room for them if there are no other injuries. And Benson, Zucker, Kulik, Norris, and Danforth all come back. Maybe there's room on the Danforth front. But, you know, you talk about them never winning faceoffs. Well, he's a 54% guy on faceoffs. So is that important enough that maybe you want him in the lineup because of that? They really don't have anybody else close to that. Tage Thompson's at 49.3 coming into the game. So but what they have done is made it difficult. When the time comes, it's going to be very difficult on Kevin Adams and his coaching staff to figure out what they're going to do. But again, that's a big if, because it seems like every time somebody gets healthy, somebody else gets hurt. So we don't even have to have the discussion about the roster. So, we'll see what happens when some of these guys are ready to be able to come back into the lineup.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the post game. Sabres win 5-1 over the Oilers. Next up is Calgary on Wednesday at 7:30. Okay, Paul, so the homestand, we talked about it, it maybe had an opportunity if they could get themselves back into what would be a reasonable look in the standings here. Part one is done, but they still got three more to go. But, Calgary's coming in. If they can play any sort of similarity to what they did tonight, especially defensively, you'd say, all right, they've got an opportunity here again to maybe pick up another win.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the Chicago Blackhawks are no longer a joke. I mean, that's a team that, any team can come in and knock you off. Calgary can come in and knock you off. I mean, they have won a few games this year. I mean, they've won five games. St. Louis has won six games, and one of them was against the Buffalo Sabres. They could make things a little interesting on the Sabres, too. So my point was the Chicago Blackhawks, 9-5-4. The Chicago Blackhawks have a points percentage of 6-11, tied with the Vegas Golden Knights going into action tonight. Their goal differential is plus 12. On the road, coming into tonight's action, they're 5-3-2. So it's not your same old Chicago Blackhawks that are going to come rolling in here on Friday. So you got to take advantage of the Calgary Flames and get ready to play the Chicago Blackhawks. And I haven't gone that far. I know there's a Sunday afternoon game. I don't remember who it's against, and I know you will.
Carolina.
Well, yeah. We all know what a tussle that's going to be. Yep. They have beaten Carolina at home fairly recently, but that's a 13-5-1 team and a 7-11 points percentage. So we know what, and they're 7-3-0 on the road right now. So you got to pick up these points when you can. They've put themselves in a position where they almost have to win these four games at home. Whether they can pull that off, well, we'll go through them and see. I'm not going to get into predictions. I have no indication in the last 14 years to think that they're going to go on a six-game or a five-game winning streak because they've already won one of them. But that doesn't mean they can't. That doesn't mean they can't go on an eight-game winning streak, especially if people start coming back into the lineup. I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying the opportunities are there. This team is capable of doing better than it has, even injured. And there are other factors to me that have gone into all this mess. Now they're trying to climb out of it. Can they do it? I'll let everybody else answer that question.
Paul, thank you for your work tonight. Appreciate it. We'll see you here Wednesday for the Flames.
Okay.
Okay, Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. 5-1 the final. The time to read some tweets. Pat, you always come in for this. So
yes.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
We'll get connected with our fans here, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. You can always send me your thoughts after each and every game at BrianWGR. No surprise. A lot of fans.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I just want to talk about Roseanne Osland. M here checking in says these guys need to stay in the lineup, but this sounds like they're going back to Rochester. He was referring to the Lindy quote about saying these guys are making steps to becoming a regular NHL player. Let's see here. Virgil says, I might be paranoid and pessimistic after 14 years of this franchise being a dumpster fire, but the quote, they are taking steps to becoming regular NHL players. Sounds like a lot like a coach getting ready to send them down once people start getting healthy.
Well, I think that's just the reality of it is young players go through ebbs and flows. Their peaks and valleys are generally higher and lower than someone like a Tage Thompson or an Alex Tuch. You talk about the forward ranks where the some nights you'll have a night like tonight, and then other nights, just because you're a young player and maybe you're playing more minutes than maybe the situation would have called for originally. Look, Lindy Ruff said he was sticking to the game plan. He was not going to put Noah Austin on the ice just to get him that hat trick goal, because let's be honest, with Edmonton and with Connor McDavid,
it's a respect thing for the Oilers, right?
It is,
for sure,
because
and that's
if,
okay,
right? If Edmonton gets one there, you don't want the snowball to happen.
Right.
And when you've got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman and so many other players, and what Jack Roslovic was basically all their offense tonight,
yeah.
If you get one, it could lead to two, and it could lead to uh-oh.
The last minute all of a sudden is, yeah.
Right.
And so, we've seen that play out at times. So
I think, yes, it is worthy of saying that these players had a very good night tonight, and in Allison's case, he's playing well. It's one thing to do it in a smaller sample size, but if he continues to play this way, then it's the conversation of who is he going to take a roster spot of? Because again, that development is such a big thing, and learning from your experience now and then applying that if you go back to Rochester is still also a part of your development as a player.
Yeah. Let's see. Sabres No Show says him and Rosen, who of course he's talking about Austlin, are making strong cases to stay up. So yeah, we're gonna. I'm sure fans are gonna say play him. It's understandably so. Call ups are producing here in these moments, including on the power play, which is something that even the Sabre regulars struggle with. So I could see why we're gonna get a lot of fans that definitely are gonna say, don't send him anywhere. Keep him in the lineup. Now, Benson, Norris, Zucker, Kulik, those four when healthy. And again, I think Paul makes a good point. All four of these being healthy at the same time, where you also haven't had any other injuries elsewhere. With this team, you probably can say, we don't have to worry about it for a while. But let's just go ahead and play it out here. Let's say all four of them return, and you look at the lineup here of who's coming back out. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at the lines from tonight, I mean, it's Kozak, and it's Dunn. I'm sorry, it's Malenstein, it's Austlin, and it's Dunn. So maybe Austlin is first to come out. I know Paul has mentioned Krebs at times as an option, but nobody else is coming out of this lineup. I mean, Doan, Thompson, Tuck, McLeod, Quinn. Now, Greenway is an interesting piece in the sense that I know people have said you can trade Greenway. He might have value. Lindy Ruff loves him and his work ethic
talked
and his penalty kill. So, yeah, I mean, there's four. The numbers would say, we're not saying anything about what they're doing on the ice.
Right.
The pure numbers would say if all four come back and there's no more forwards injuries, that they'll be sent down.
And right, it's not necessarily based on performance.
Right.
It's just the numbers game. You'd be a fool to say, well, their performance doesn't warrant them still staying on this roster if everything stays equal as it is right now. I mean, it'd be foolish to say that. But in a lot of cases, if you don't have a player that can go down to the minors, that's just how it is at times. And again, it's also part of your development is how you react to those situations as well. If the player goes back to the minor leagues and to Rochester in this case, how do they respond? By just the pure numbers game of the situation, and do they continue to put up points in Rochester? How do they answer that that situation? And I think that is also a part of, not saying they won't answer well, but that is always part of the calculus of the front office of also, the development and the growth and learning from all those situations.
Pat, with your time with the Bisons too, like you get to see both ends of it. You're, a team that's one step away from the big leagues. Well, that's what the Amerks are to the Sabres, and that's what the Bisons are with the Blue Jays. And you have, I'm sure you've dealt with players with the Bisons over the years that go up to Toronto, they have a good performance, they end up coming back down to Buffalo. It doesn't mean necessarily they didn't anything wrong or that they're maybe not major league ready, but sometimes it's a numbers game. Sometimes it's, well, where do they fit in the lineup necessarily? And at the moment, maybe there isn't that perfect spot for them, even though you'd say they've checked the AAA box at this point. They should be in the big leagues. Well, maybe Roseanne and Austlin have checked the AHL box, but at the moment, I don't know. And then I also understand the fan side of things. They say, look,
right,
this team hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years. These guys are scoring. Why would you get rid of them? Like, I get that too. So I can see both sides.
And from a baseball perspective, I can tell you, honestly, not every player responds the same.
Right.
And that's, again, goes into part of the calculus and part of what I've seen in the past of there are some players that go down to the minor leagues and are not happy and make it either known or
yeah,
it's kind of implied in their play.
Like, hey, I earned being there. I showed you that I belong there.
Right.
I'm not happy about being back now.
Yes, right. And there's also the flip side of the coin of when you go back, you might not be the first call-up afterwards. And how do you respond to that? Like, that adds another layer to it of, all right, let's say two or three players have to go down. You may not be the first one that goes right back up if there's an injury. So, if you know, that's always part of it, too, and how players respond. So it's not as if every player responds the same way. And, you know, I think that is always part of the conversation of when it's numbers game, how do the players respond and how do they take the message from the front office that it's not you, it's the situation, and that is always something to look at.
Yeah, that's right. Good perspective there. Okay, Pat, we're going to update the standings, but we want to get the scores in from the games tonight, so let's do one more final drive around the league.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by AAA, the official partner of the Buffalo Sabres. Only one game still ongoing as the Ducks, trying to go 6-1 at home this year, have a 1-0 lead over Utah. 4:07 to go in the opening stands. Again, the Ducks won mammoth nothing. Everything else in the books. Former Sabre, former Bruin, Taylor Hall, helping beat his former team as the Hurricanes upend the Bruins 3-1 tonight in Boston. The Panthers and Canucks in a shootout down in Sunrise. Seth Jones, a couple of goals. Sam Reinhart, 3 assists as the Panthers defeat the Canucks 8-5. It was the Capitals slipping past the Kings 2-1 thanks to Alex Ovechkin's 6th of the year. Also, Charlie Lindgren, 30 saves in the victory. The other contest going final, it took a shootout for the Blue Jackets to defeat Montreal 4-3. Also, week 11 of the NFL concluding tonight in Las Vegas. A lot of scoring taking place in the second half. A lot of scoring period in this game for the Cowboys, who lead the Raiders 31-16. The Raiders just getting in the end zone. Cowboys getting the ball back. How about Dak Prescott? 20-26, 246, and 4 touchdowns. 4 different receivers getting out of the action. George Pickens leading the way, 9-144, and a touchdown as well. And Brian, 2 notes from local college basketball. Niagara on the road at Lemoyne tonight. The Dolphins defeat the Purple Eagles 74-68. And Canisius drops one to High Point tonight, 93-50. Both of those games have gone final.
If you are a college hoops fan, yes. Locally tomorrow, UB, who's 4-0, going to play Vermont, the Catamounts. Pat, I know as a Syracuse grad, every time I say Vermont,
you had to go there.
I know that if you're an SU person, you can't not go back to that opening round. Was that a 2-15 game or 3-14?
It was a 5-12, I think it was.
Okay.
But that was the Tom Brennan.
Yes.
It was his last year as a coach, basically a home game for Vermont. I was there at the DCU Center.
Yeah.
And it was 2005. I can tell you, I stay right next to the DCU Center every time I go to Worcester, Massachusetts with the Bisons. And every time I walk past there, it's Taylor Coppenrath from the parking lot.
Yeah,
Gus Johnson with the incredible call. Now, Coppenrath with the big 3-pointer in overtime, helping sealing the fate of the Orange that day. Yeah, it's
60-57 was the final.
Yeah. That was an epic game.
It was a 4-13. That's what it was.
4-13, okay.
In a seed game, yeah.
Yeah, and basically Vermont was better than the 13, and Syracuse probably wasn't as good as their 4 ranking, but that's how it goes in seeding sometimes. And it was, I can tell you from being there, it was a home game for Vermont. So that was a pro-Vermont crowd being so close to campus, relatively speaking.
Yeah, Sorrentine 17, Coppenrath 16. And for the Orange, Hakeem Warrick led the way, 21 points in that game, 12 rebounds.
I remember well.
Yep. McNamara, 11. Josh Pace, Craig Forth, Terrence Roberts. I'm sure you remember all these names.
2 years after the national championship, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, Vermont, by the way, is 4-0. UB is 4-0.
What a great story.
Yeah. Good game tomorrow.
Yeah, UB, what a great story they are after, you know, 2 tough years under the new head coach and really implementing his system. And you know better than I do, being around the program more than myself, but the transfers, that's such a part of the game these days. They're hitting on all cylinders early.
Yeah, Coach George Halkovich said that he feels like they've got so much more depth and so much more experience this year that he's feeling like that they're handling these games that are tighter down the stretch. The win at DePaul. DePaul is not a force in the Big East, but they're a Big East team, and you won on the road there when they were like an 18-point underdog and went in there, and they won by double digits. So, like,
that opened some eyes.
Right. You win on the road at a Big East school. That's impressive. And, you know, they had a tight game with Southern Miss, and they had a tight game with Green Bay that they handled the final minutes well. So we'll see. This Vermont test maybe is, you know, going to be one of their tougher non-conference games. So that'll be fun tomorrow at Alumni Arena, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, if you can't get there, you can listen over our sister station, the Bet 1520. Our friend Josh Wetzel will be on the call on the radio side.
Yes, Josh does a great job. He's been doing those games for a long time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll have that game. And also monster games down in MSG tomorrow, too. It's the Champions Classic Tournament. Dickie V always there, right? And it's Michigan State and Kentucky at 7, and then Duke and Kansas at 9. So no Sabres tomorrow, no Bills tomorrow. So, if you're a college hoop junkie,
yeah,
you got a game to go to locally, and a couple of massive games on ESPN tomorrow if you want those.
And I know I'll see you on Wednesday, but I'll see the Blue Devils at the end of the week.
That's right. Niagara is playing in Cameron Indoor Stadium. How cool is that going to be for you?
It's going to be awesome, and part of it is Greg Paulus, the head coach of the Purple Eagles, was teammates with John Shire at Duke, and it's the brotherhood. That's what they've dubbed the alumni and for the Blue Devils, and it's probably the brotherhood tour, I believe it's called. Three coaches, all former Blue Devils, taking part in the weekend.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Well, we'll talk Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then I'll remind you that I'm jealous that you're going to Cameron Indoor on Friday for that. Pretty sweet, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Pat. 5-1 the final. Sabres beat the Oilers. Again, they are still in last, but tied with Toronto. That makes you feel better. If I would have said when the season started, hey, through 19 games, you'd be tied with the Leafs, I probably would have said, all right. But it's last. Last in the Atlantic, last in the East. However, the bright spot, if you want to spin it the right way here, you can say the Sabres right now are 4 points out of third. Not only a playoff spot, but third in the Atlantic right now. And 5 points is second place in the Atlantic. So, but, you know, there's a boatload of teams in that middle block right there that are all in between 23 and 18. And the Sabres now have 18 points tonight, getting their seventh victory of the year. All right. 5-1. Calgary next on Wednesday, 7:30. Hope you can tune in then right here on the Sabres Radio Network. And with that, we're going to say goodnight to everybody. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you tuning in. Want to thank our great crew. TJ Luckman, our network producer, back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, TJ. Here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Colzio, Paul Hamilton, all part of our crew. Tom Maddy is our engineer. Shopin the Bulldog on the pregame. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colzio. The final again, Sabres 5, Oilers 1. We will talk to you here Wednesday night with the Calgary Flames in town right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow!
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.